Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Dan, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing good.
We're doing all right. And, I mean, obviously not all the news coming out of the weekend was great. We'll talk about that game. But you lose DJ Reed for now. The possibility of no Terrion Arnold. How does that affect your defense? And who are you leaning on to step up in their absence?
Well, you know, anytime you lose players that have really helped you up to this point, very dependable players, somebody like Reed, you know, and then even with TA, what he's been doing for us, you know, it can have an effect. But that's also why we have, you know, we have a 53-man roster and we have the 16 on practice squad. And look, this isn't our first rodeo. So next man steps up. We can't miss a beat. We'll adjust. We'll make sure that we help our guys out. You know, we don't just throw them out there without any help, and we spread the load throughout the whole team and the three units. So we'll be fine.
We play your locker room speech every Monday for people, and I thought something stood out. You were honest with the guys. You said it wasn't good enough in a game you won by 24 points. I know you're normally, hey, just find a way to win, guy. How do you juggle that when you're talking to your guys?
No, I mean, I just think. Look, first of all, you know, we're never going to apologize for a win. They're hard to come by. It takes a lot. There's a lot of preparation, hard work, things that go in it, everything the players lay into it. And so, man, we're going to take any win that we earn, you know, because every win is you've earned it, no matter what it looks like. You found a way to get it. But it's also important to note that, man, there's things that we can be better at. And, you know, if you are facing a different team, if you're not hitting on all cylinders and you're not playing clean football across the board, that can bite you. That can come back and get you. So that's all. It was just, you know, I wanted to make sure that I got that out. But I'm proud of the way that we went in there and we fought and we did what we had to do. We talked about defense, special teams, and then and scoring touchdowns on offense. And we accomplished every one of those.
Offensively, your numbers against a defense like Cleveland are not going to, in general, be as productive or as high as you are against playing against some other defenses. What did you see from especially your offensive line, and let's throw the tight ends in there as well, about playing against that front seven, that Cleveland? What was it that stood out to you that they did well, and what needs to be improved upon?
Well, I thought we kept the line of scrimmage clean. That was one thing that I thought we did really well. And you going against an opponent like that, that's what always shows up on Cleveland's tape. You know, you watch that D line, and they're always playing into the backfield of the opposing offensive or offensive lines. And I thought doesn't mean we didn't have some TFLs, those popped up, but it wasn't necessarily we're giving up all this penetration in the backfield. So I thought we kept the line of scrimmage pretty clean. You know, and I thought we protected the quarterback, man. I thought the job collectively those guys did helping each other out was big. I thought, you know, Penei Sewell, you know, I mean, he can't say enough great things about him. You know, I just thought he played an outstanding game once again. And then Decker over there, man. I thought they, man, they when they had their one-on-ones, they took care of business in the pass game over there. And we asked a lot of those guys, and both of them really came up in a big way for us. So That was good to see, you know. And really, it was kind of a dirty game, man. That was the kind of game it was going to be. A little bit dirty, a little bit gritty and grimy. And I thought those guys did a heck of a job. You know, you grind out over 100 yards against that defense, and that's a good thing. Now, is it up to our standards? No, but we'll take it.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Looking at the snap counts on defense, and you had three linebackers playing like 90 to 100% of the snaps. Some of that is Derek Barnes and the versatility. What does he unlock for you guys with your defense?
Yeah, he allows us to do so many things. Because really, we can flow in and out of a base or slash nickel with him. You know, he can play a little bit of everything. And really, Alex as well. I mean, you can float in between base defense and nickel with those two guys because of their, the blitz ability, the pressure ability, playing the run, and then playing in space and coverage. But as far as Barnes, he can do all of those, and then he can play DN for us and some of these rush packages. So I just feel like, man, he's gotten better and better every game this year. He continues to trend the right way, and man, he's been a force for us, and so he does. He allows us to do a ton of different things.
I know Jared talked about the interception that he threw. That aside, the level of play that he has and the unselfishness of being able to ground a ball, but just his mental capacity to run and operate this offense is right now, is he one of the best that you've seen at the mental side of this game?
Yes. Yes, it's impressive. You know, just and I'm thankful that I've been able to be a part of this with him now since 21, because I've been able to witness the growth. I've seen it firsthand, and I mean, the guy is the way that he processes the information that he's given, that he gives it to the players, that he sees the defense, that he makes alterations. You know, he audibles into things to get us in a perfect play. I mean, it really is now having like a coach, you know, running your offense. He's out there on the field, and that's what we've stepped into with him and what he's done, which that's a credit to him, man. He works through it. He wants to freaking make corrections. He wants to be perfect. He wants to know the why. He wants to know, how can I be better? What is a better check here? What is the right thing to do? And he just continues to learn and grow. And here we go, man. I mean, he's in the prime of his career. He's played for a number of years, and he continues to get better. He continues to learn. And, I mean, that's the essence of what we do in this league, man. Whether you're a player or a coach, you should always keep trying to learn and grow and get better. That's where he's at, man. And then, you know, the accuracy that he has goes is icing on the cake. I mean, you can run this offense and you can make the throws he can make. It's just I'm glad we got him, I can tell you that.
Does he have more of an edge to him this season? Like, I know yesterday he was asked about, you know, does this prove any questions about the offense? He said, no, keep the questions coming. Like, he seems to be a little feistier now.
I think we've all been feisty for 3 or 4 years now. So no, I don't feel like he's any more feisty than normal. He's competitive, you know.
Last year it was all about, and I know we just talked about the injuries in the secondary. Last year it was all about the injuries up front. I know at some point you're going to start the clock on Aleem McNeil. He mentioned a couple of weeks ago that he was 93-94% ready to go. When do you start that clock, and how is the progress that you've seen for him? What are you hearing? When might you start that clock?
Well, Mac, the other day I was talking to him, and he said, Coach, when I'm 94.6% ready, you tell me, I'll let you go, man. You guys can put me out there. And I said, all right. So yesterday he said, Coach, I'm 94.6% ready to get after this. So I said, all right, well, let's start his clock. So that's what we're going to do. I don't know how he knows his body that well, but he does. So
where do you get these percentages from? Where does he?
Dude, he's unbelievable, this guy. Listen, he's been trending the right way, and it's been us being conservative with him, making sure that we're smart about this. The guy's put in the work. I mean, he's looked phenomenal. I mean, really, we were talking about, you know, Fish and those guys were talking about in August how good the guy looked and that he may be ahead of schedule. It's just this thing's taken off, and his strength is really good in the knee. And that's the biggest thing, is getting the strength and flexibility back in the knee. And he got that pretty quick because of the work that he put into it. And so it's just been about, man, let's make sure we're smart with this, that we reach that minimum threshold as to, okay, man, we know this thing is healed, it's ready, the flexibility's right, the strength is right, he can protect himself and produce. And so he's there, we feel like.
I think there's a player that I don't know that we asked you about in the preseason, and I don't think we've asked you about it since the season started, and it'll be great to get Aleem McNeil back, but describe to us what you're seeing from Tyleek Williams as a rookie up front and the job he has done to this point in the season.
Well, he's gone about his business. It's been quiet production, and what I mean by that, I mean that in a good way. You know, he's another one of these guys that does so many things that maybe not everybody sees. Like, you can't move the guy in the run game. You know, between he and Reader, you're not moving those guys. But he does a ton. He's got really good feet. He plays with leverage, strong hands, and man, he can bottle up the freaking runs, man. And then he's got sneaky push in the middle. He can get an edge and push, and in the pass game, play action pass, some of those. And so he's been a guy that, man, he continues to get better. And there again, you don't always see it in the stats. But he's doing so much that's helping all these other guys with their stats. And that's what this game's about. That's what defense is about. It's the unselfishness, and he has to do a lot of this dirty work, and he's doing a damn good job with it.
Going back to Aleem just for a second, it's a 21-day window. So would it be safe to say you guys are trying to get him back before the bye week then?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see if we can do that and how comfortable he is. Really, so much of it is about, What does he look like? How does he feel?
Right.
I think it would be nice to try to do that if we could, but we're not going to, you know, say for sure, like, all right, this is when you're playing. There's no doubt about it. Let's just see where he's at.
And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about is, you guys don't have these letdown spots. Like, Cincinnati did not look good last night. You guys don't overlook opponents. Where does that come from? I know you talked about it's hard for these guys to escape social media, but you've got a resilient group. Where does that come from?
It's our guys. It's our players. You know, these guys, since we've been here in 21, you know, the foundation of this team and every group that comes in after that, they know what the standards are, man. And we got competitive guys. The work, the preparation means something to them, and the competitiveness on Sundays. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you line up across from us. We're going to go play, man. And we're trying to win. We play to win. So that's just the guy's mentality. That's our players. And when the players, when it comes from them, good things happen.
Emphasis with Cincinnati? What is it?
The emphasis is to play clean football in all three phases and win the freaking game.
Love
while you play.
All right. Dan Campbell, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dan.
Good luck.
Okay. Have a good one.
All right. It's not Dan Campbell. It's 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Jared, as always, thanks for being with us here on the Carson Anderson program. And this Sunday will be your 70th game as a Detroit Lion, surpassing the 69 games that you played in Los Angeles. So let's start with this. Are you now a Midwest boy? Are you no longer California soft? Are you Midwest tough?
For sure. Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. And yeah, officially a Detroiter for sure.
That's great.
Is there something you can point to specifically that makes you a Detroiter? Is there something you like recommend to others that come into town? And you're like, no, this is how it's done over here.
Gosh, that's a good question. I wear a lot of Carhartt. I mean, that might be part of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You know, when it gets cold, you know, the thing that keeps it that I'm still California about, though, is when it gets cold, I'm putting on layers. And a lot of these people here are not, which is crazy to me.
You had told us once that you originally bought a big puffy coat. And might have bought
a snowboarding jacket.
You don't have that anymore?
No, I don't need that anymore. I've graduated from that.
All right, good. Good to hear. All right, let's get to football. First time in Lions history, 3 straight weeks, not a quarterback sack. And it's more than just the way the offensive line is playing. But let's start there. How about the job this offensive line has done in weeks 2, 3, and 4 protecting you?
Yeah, they're doing a hell of a job, man. They really are. They're taking a lot of pride in it. They're playing well, obviously, and they're intentional about it. I mean, they really are. I think the play calling has been great, too, to take a little bit of pressure off them in certain situations. But last week, you know, those guys on that Cleveland D-line are no joke. Obviously, Miles is the headliner, but all 4 of those guys up front are really good players. And our guys did great. We had a plan for Miles and to chip and to do all sorts of things. But Decker and Panay were on an island quite a bit. And I thought Decker in particular had him do it himself a lot and was really good.
I think a lot of people misuse the word mobility when it comes to a quarterback. They assume that it just means running straight down the field, able to pick up 20, 30 yards, and don't look at the intricacies of just being able to maneuver through the pocket. You look more agile in the pocket, dare I say elusive. Is that something that you've consciously worked on in the offseason, or am I just imagining some sort of training montage?
I'm always working on that. I don't know if it's something that I've put more emphasis on this year rather than others. I'm always trying to get better at that through the offseason and different training ways and, working on my foot speed and quickness in the pocket. And, I'm obviously not going to run for a ton of yards, but if I can keep my feet hot and move around the pocket, quickly, it helps us.
Your quarterback rating right now, it's only 4 games, but it's 113, which would be the best in your career. But we know you well enough to know that you're probably looking at what you can do better. So after 4 games, what are the points of emphasis for Jared Goff to do better?
Oh, man. I think each game it changes. So I guess it's hard for me to quit, summarize 4 games. I think I can give you a good answer after this past game. Just not to forget about those checkdowns. I don't think I threw a checkdown once. And to make sure that I'm not, always looking for a big play. I think it bit me in the behind there on the one that I threw to JMO that was not even close to open and got picked off. But just making sure I'm not forgetting, how good our running backs are and how good our tight ends are in the flats and how good that has been for us, over the last 4 or 5 years.
You guys are off to a 3-1 start. Great start. And you've got Cincinnati coming up this week. Dan Campbell talked about how you guys are just built that you don't look past anybody. And I wonder, is that part of also the tough love what happened Sunday after the game? Dan Campbell said to you guys in the locker room, it just wasn't good enough. You guys are holding yourself to an amazing standard. Is it everybody on board with this? Is it leadership? How do you keep up with this mentality to stay focused week to week?
Yeah, we know we need to continue to improve. And I think there's a fine line there. And I think Dan does a good job of finding that where, I think, if we're going to be specific with what he said, I don't believe he said it wasn't good enough. I believe he said it wasn't good enough moving forward. It was good enough to win on Sunday. It absolutely was. We won by 24.
Yeah.
But offensively, in some areas, if we want to be who we say we are later on in the year, no, that probably won't get us where we want to go later in the year. And that's, I think, what he meant. And he's right. And there was a lot of different things that I had my hand in that could have been better in that game. And I think, it's good to win a game. A dirty, dirty win by 24 points feels pretty good. So we got to find ways to improve and get better. And Cincinnati's got certainly things that will challenge us this week that we got to find a way to beat.
Jared, your second touchdown to Amon-Ra, we could hear you, it sounded like, change the play at the line of scrimmage. And then after the game, Dan Campbell said that touchdown was next level stuff. That's all pre-snap. What did you see, and what did that make you say, okay, I got to check into this play? What were their cues that tipped you off that you needed to get out of what you were doing and into what obviously was a touchdown?
Yeah, I think it was a third down. It was either third down or a second or longer. And they were bringing a zero blitz. They were bringing it right up the middle. It's something they've done and something I remembered from the week of preparation. And, just checked into a screen there, and St. Brown did the rest. And, yeah, I like to think at this point in my career, I should see that stuff. I should make those checks, and it shouldn't be no problem. But there is a lot of prep that goes into it and a lot of alert. And, we have a whole week to prepare, and that's going to try to take a lot of pride in being able to recognize those looks and get us into a good play.
How much of an offense's success is due to pre-snap reads and your ability to read a defense before the ball snapped? And I guess everybody on offense.
Our offense or other offenses?
Your offense.
Our offense is very critical, I think, to what we do. There's a lot of offenses that just snap the ball and figure it out after the snap, and typically those are not the top of the league, but sometimes they are. Sometimes there's guys that can make that work, but the way we do it here is a lot of pre-snap adjustments, pre-snap thoughts. You know, whether it's me, Graham, shoot, even St. Brown, the running backs, you know, making different decisions pre-snap on what they want to do. And there's a lot that goes into it through the week that gets us prepared for Sunday and allows us to kind of, you know, in our own way, be a step ahead.
Is that similar to how things were in your first 69 games?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's how we did things in LA to some extent. Every offense is different, and the league has changed so much and evolved, and it's hard to compare the two directly. But yeah, there was a lot of pre-snap stuff as well while I was there.
Has there been one adjustment throughout your career, or just specifically with the Lions? I guess you get to the line of scrimmage and you just start to smile inside because you know that you're going to change it into a play that's going to work for you, or a play that you want to run. Is there something like that works for you?
I don't know if I can remember one in particular. I think we so often have, you know, we have this like perfect play mentality, or we want to get into a premier play all the time. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't, but you know, when the play call does come in and we get the look we're looking for, and I'm able to either stay in the play that is initially called or check to the second play that's called in the huddle or the third play that I have in my back pocket. Yeah, those do feel good. And then when it works, it feels good. You know, it doesn't always work, but you try to put in all the work throughout the week to make sure you're putting yourself in a good position. And yeah, when you're able to check into the play that you feel like is for that look and then it works, yeah, you do feel pretty good about it.
Jared, I know that this is something you got to deal with in your profession, but it worries us to death, and that is injuries. They're starting to pile up on defense again. How do you guys process that and move forward when guys are going down all around you?
Yeah, you kind of feel for the guys. I mean, you definitely feel for the guys. You know, the first guy I think of is DJ Reed, and I know we'll miss him for a little bit, but he was such a great, you know, addition to our team this offseason, and he's been a great leader and the whole thing, and he'll just be missed. And I know there's a number of other guys, you know, I don't know what Terrion's situation is, but a number of other guys, like you said, have been hurt, and yeah, you feel for them, but at the same time, it's truly next to us, and our guys have done a good job over the years of stepping into those roles and making it work and doing a good job.
Last week, you guys had the short week because of the Monday night game. This week, it's going to be the Bengals that have the short week. Explain to everybody, what's the toughest part about having that short week and getting ready for a football game?
Yeah, you're just a little bit behind. There's no way around it. It's just, you know, the math of it. I don't know what time they landed last night, but they're starting on us, you know, now in theory, and we started yesterday, and it was the same thing for Cleveland last week, and we were a day behind. So, yeah, it sucks. The hardest part is you're tired. You're landing at, you know, for us from Baltimore, I don't know, I got home at 4:30 in the morning, and you know, you're expected to go to sleep and wake up at, you know, whatever time and get back to work. So yeah, it's not ideal, but everyone in the league has to deal with it, and we got ours out of the way last week, and now they're dealing with it this week.
Lastly, have you scheduled your fall photo shoot with the family yet? Is it going to be Halloween themed? We got a pumpkin patch going, cider mill. What are you being told to expect?
Right. No, we have not scheduled that yet. I would imagine that'll be coming down the pipe for me. I'll have to put some time away and make sure I'm ready for that. I think we're kind of working on Halloween ideas. We don't have that pinned down yet either, but you can get really creative now that we've added a third member of the family, and it'll be fun.
Well, we look forward to seeing social media posts of that. what you guys opt for. Hey, good luck this week against Cincinnati, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. He is, Jared Goff. A little earlier than usual this week, but great to have him with us always on Tuesdays here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Jeremy Otto's a pro. That's all I want to say. He's unshakable. We welcome in what?
Just Jeremy. One of these days, he's going to show up and have that look in his eyes.
Trouble?
Like, yeah.
Falling down.
Mike. Yeah.
Oh, he's going to go Michael Douglas.
Get out of here. It torched earth.
So before we have a lot of people who want to rap Tigers. Obviously, I was made aware you had quite a busy few days talking Tigers to your internet fans.
I'll be honest. I mean, look, everybody was frustrated. Like, I don't apologize about any of the frustrations I had.
No.
I got kind of snarked at Monday by Gator. And I will say Gator was right because he had the Tigers winning, albeit it was a very ugly series.
Yes.
Scoobs, you know, stole the first one. And there were so many issues that everybody was saying, well, you know, it's a new season. It's October now. It's
that
playoff baseball.
Guilty.
But you look at the last 20 games and it was like the same stuff, like not taking advantage of any opportunities.
Stop right there for a second, though. Stop.
So I'm thrilled that they won, Mike.
I know,
but
that
there's still part of me that's just like, man, like, they, you know what, maybe yesterday was finally that switch that just flipped on, that's like, okay, we remember who we
I had
are
an idea he yeah. just gave a light bulb moment here. Remember I was talking about like the players doing what they're doing and how it's weird? Let's ask a former player, albeit a different sport. Did you catch the Tigers kind of getting chesty? Oh, hearing about the 15 and a half games and blow it out your ass. And it's like, that's kind of a weird flex, boys. You cost yourself the division. Hey, the reason you're playing right now with ski goggles on is because you blew a 15 and a half game lead.
Yeah.
As a former player, like, what sparks that? Is it the players who say they don't deal with outside noise are actually dealing with it? Or like, what? What does that? That felt so weird to me.
It's because of the outside noise. And in today's world, like, I was lucky enough to play where there wasn't as much access. I mean, Twitter was still a thing, but it's not as big as it is now with, you know, Instagram and all the social media that people have. Everybody's like now trying to get you that gotcha moment, right? Like, and I know this past week, even, you know, look at Shedeur Sanders, everybody, why are you, you know, interviewing a third string quarterback? For that exact reason, you want to get something to, you know, spark and ignite and go viral, and that's like that's the different world that athletes live in now. I think that it's impossible for these guys not to hear criticism unless you don't have electronics. I mean,
bold,
if you have a
strategy
computer or a phone, like, you're probably hearing some of the stuff. But I think that, but most people in my world, I try to keep it. Certainly, I'm a fan of this team. I love this team. But the same part, you look at it critically, like, you didn't just lose games like, oh, we got a couple bad bounces, or, man, like, we're playing really well and the other team just got the ball last, or, you know, we just, like, it wasn't like one of those feelings like where you're playing good, but just everything that could go wrong is going wrong. It was like you're playing terrible.
And you're playing
at the worst time of the year. And that's how I looked at it, where it's like, okay, I can see if you're, you know, losing games just like unlucky, right? Like bad calls by the umpires, or, man, like, we just missed the, you know, we missed the plate for the go-ahead run, whatever it was. Like, if you're losing games like that, you can still kind of convince yourself that, okay, we're still that team. But the way that they had been playing the last 20 games was just like, man, this is just unrecognizable from what we saw in the first, I don't know, 145 games, where it's like, okay, this is like the gritty team. They lost their gritty title throughout the last, you know, 20 games, 15 games of the season.
Right.
They got it back, I think, yesterday. And I think that it was so weird because, Mike, I'm sitting there yesterday and, you know, the game was at 3 o'clock. It was probably 2:30. And I was already pissed off. I was already irritated because I'm like,
grumble,
like, what has this team done to give me hope? I just want something tangible that I can lock onto. And hey, they're pitching this Cecchini kid, like one of your Italian cousins.
Yeah, Chachi Cecchini.
It's
my cousin.
But give me something that's like, hey, they're gonna do this because they're really good against this or in this situation. And there was nothing tangible. It was just basically like, you know what? I finally submitted myself to saying it's playoff baseball. Anything can happen. They just, like, you feel like, and I'll give Gator credit, he told me this on Monday, you just feel like at some point you're due. Like, just hang in the game long enough, and then you're going to be due. They blew game two, in my opinion. They had, obviously, what, 1-for-15 there?
AJ
runners in scoring positions. AJ did get outmanaged, no doubt. But to watch him come back yesterday kind of reignited, I think, my fandom to just say, you know what, this is playoff baseball, and this is a team that for 140 games of the season, like, battled their asses off and are gritty guys. Do I expect them to go to the World Series or win a World Series? No, I don't. But I kind of submitted myself to, let's just have fun on this ride. You know what I mean? And look, if things go sideways against Seattle and they get blown, doors blown out, it's like, okay, it's playoff baseball. But I've kind of submitted myself as a fan just to say, you know what? I'm committed now to not being angry and not going to complain, and not going to bitch. I just want to enjoy this, hopefully.
Sounds like they TJ's can put in together couples some, therapy some over here.
Because it, honestly, this like the last, those three games, like for me, it was just like such a super high, and then such a super low, and then such a super high, and then such a super low. It's like, I can't keep doing that to myself. I'm getting headaches. I'm almost 40. Like, I can't do this with my blood pressure. Like, I just can't do it. It's like, it's hurting my brain. So I've just told myself, just enjoy it. It's better than where we've been the last 8 years with this team. We're in the playoffs. You won a playoff series. The little devil on my shoulder says, yeah, you shouldn't even been playing in the wild card in the first place. You should have been waiting until this weekend. But you know what? Maybe playing in that wild card round instead of taking a week and a half break like other teams, maybe that helps this team. Maybe that gives these young guys confidence to go out there and say, you know what? We went to Cleveland, albeit not world beaters, right? We know that Cleveland...
No.
You know, they've been a thorn in our side, but that maybe that gives the young kids confidence that, you know what, we've proven that we can battle and we can stick with it, man, and we can go on the road for three games and win two of them. You know what? Hey, let's just go out there and have fun. Nobody expects anything out of us. Let's take all the pressure off our shoulders and let's go out there and just keep having fun. That's what I saw in the, what was it, seventh inning? Yesterday, well, eighth inning, whatever it was, that sudden, they just looked like they just had
TJ,
no pressure and just let's go have fun and see what happens.
They needed to see runs go across the board. So that's what it was. Because I said, whoever gets to three is going to win this thing, and it's going to be just relief. And you saw that was the Tigers. They start having fun again. They start believing themselves again.
Yeah, that was like a 1980s like Army versus Navy game, like first to seven.
Yeah,
first team to score a touchdown.
Maybe Javi will stay Javi and not be Javier. And yeah. you'll.
Although you were wrong about Javi, you had him hitting a walk off this series, which
I did.
Yeah,
he didn't hit a walk off.
Well, you can't do that when you're on the road, but did have a.
Jesus.
I'm just giving, I'm giving you a hard time.
Here? I know.
He was good. Honestly, I think outside of Skubal, position players.
We were joking around.
Javi Baez, I know. Javi Baez was incredible. And I don't even really care about his at bats. Some of the defensive plays that he made.
But you know what?
Like, that's a guy with playoff experience, like playoff Javi.
Javi is so good, he can hit a walk off on the road.
He can. Just end it.
Yeah, just
top of the ninth.
Dare,
we don't even need to bat.
I dare you to bat. We win.
I'm giving you our time. But no, he was really good. But yeah, Tigers, man, like I've gotten to the point now where it's like, okay, I think winning that game three where everything was stacked against you. You had 20 straight games of, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at Cam.
What are you laughing like? Are you looking at? Oh, my God.
Cam. Remarkable.
Sorry, Cam Newton on the screen wearing.
Hold that.
He looks like the guy from Monopoly.
Okay.
Is that what he's trying to dress?
Hold that thought because we have a critical question, and I do. I think we should take some Tiger calls. We'll get to the lines at 4:00. David Femininio. Every lawyer says the same thing. Well, we've got lots of experience. I'd hope so. Experience doesn't mean much if you're treated just like a number. For David, it's very personal from day one. Hey, just trying to handle some business over here, if you don't mind.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Everybody's all worked up after that Tigers game yesterday. 1 for 15 runners in scoring position. Some managerial malpractice. Oh, people are fired up. We're going to keep talking about it for most of the show. But we have a chance to clear our heads, take a deep breath, talk a little football. And Ross Tucker joins us this morning. Ross is our Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ross, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I can't help you with the Tigers, but the Lions are awesome.
I know. We are very grateful for that right now.
Yeah, we got something to hang our hats on. So let's start there. And I do want to ask you, who is the best team in the North? And I think you're going to probably say the Lions, but then I want to follow it up with what's gone on with Green Bay? Is it as simple as they're one team at home and a different team on the road?
I don't think it's that, John. I will say this. Can you believe, because we've been doing this every week now, is there any chance you would have thought after that opener that after week four the Lions would be ahead of the Packers in the standings? I mean, especially with the Lions having to play at Baltimore and the Packers' schedule didn't look that bad. The Packers are playing, against teams like the Browns and the Cowboys. And yet now the Packers are looking up at the Lions. It's just funny. As I've said before, and people say, oh, week one is a liar, and it certainly was this year. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC North, and I think what's so encouraging is just the line play that they're getting both sides. You know, I wasn't sure how Aiden Hutchinson was going to come back from that injury. How about unblockable and unstoppable? I mean, that was ridiculous on Sunday. Super, super impressive. Highly encouraging. And for the Packers, I can't quite figure them out. You know, against the Browns, they couldn't score. And then Jordan Love had a terrible pick, but the defense was still really good. So you thought after three games, okay, with Micah Parsons, the defense is awesome. And then against the Cowboys on Sunday night, it was the total opposite, where, you know, the offense was fine, but the defense really struggled. And it wasn't really Micah Parsons' deal. I think the fascinating thing, I don't know how many Lions fans stayed up to watch the end of it, but LaFleur, in my opinion, more or less played for a tie. I mean, 32 seconds left, they're at like the 25-yard line, they run two plays? You know, that to me is unconscionable, and I guess he's happy with the tie, but I mean, I hope it costs him. I hate that mindset. I'm glad the Lions are ahead of the Packers now.
As are we. He's Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Lions have the Bengals this week, double-digit favorites. It doesn't appear to be a very dramatic matchup. I'm curious what the biggest matchup this week is for you in the NFL when you look at it.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised the Bengals are this bad. And I kind of thought after the Vikings debacle that they would bounce back and play better. They didn't. They were arguably even worse on Monday night against, you know, the Denver Broncos. Now they got to play the Lions. Good luck to the Bengals.
Right.
I'm doing the game tonight, Niners-Rams. Looking forward to that one. I think Broncos-Eagles is very interesting because the Eagles, they're not really playing that well. You know, somehow they've now beaten in a row Cowboys, Chiefs, Rams and Bucks without playing well. It's been special teams, but they're not running it that great. They're not throwing it that great. It's kind of miraculous. I'd also say a sneaky good matchup in the NFC is Bucks and Seahawks. I'm expecting both these teams to be in the playoffs. I mean, they could very easily be two of the Lions' opponents in the playoffs. So they'll be playing at the same time as the Lions. That's tough to watch, but I think Bucks and Seahawks is a juicy one too.
So let's go back to what you just said about the Eagles. They're not playing great football right now. I mean, they're still doing enough to win every game, but how close or how would you rank Eagles-Lions?
Well, right now, based on how they've been playing, I think you'd have to put the Lions ahead of the Eagles. Now, you know, they've scored touchdowns on block kicks 2 weeks in a row. Their defense is young but very good. The crazy part is their whole offense is back from last year. And it's just, you know, they'll be decent for a half. Like, how about this, guys? They had zero passing yards in the second half on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible in the NFL now. Zero passing yards. And they still won the game on the road against the Bucks, which is wild. So, listen, it's all your perspective in life. You can look at it and say, man, the Eagles are beating good teams even when they're not playing their best. They must be really good. Or you can say the Eagles are getting very fortunate to win some games they probably shouldn't and that their luck will run out soon.
Are the Ravens in danger of missing the playoffs?
They are, but I tend to think that they're going to ultimately be right there with the Steelers. It depends on how long Lamar's out. But I think I still think if I had to bet on it, like the Even Money Betting Podcast, I would bet on the Ravens to win that division. I think that they'll end up somewhere between 9 and 11 wins, just like the Steelers. And I just think the Ravens are a better team. And when Lamar gets back out there, I think they'll start to get into a rhythm. And I'm not buying the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers yet.
So let's go back to the Eagles, because obviously everybody's going to be looking at, you know, who are the Lions going to be facing? Is now that they've beaten Baltimore on the road, Cincinnati doesn't look that great. Kansas City, are they just an average team right now? But to get there, to get to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to play Washington, or you're going to have to play some of those teams that you just talked about, the Seahawks or Tampa, and we got Tampa on the schedule. But in regards to the Eagles, how much do you make of this A.J. Brown drama and the fact that you just mentioned it, no passing yards in the second half? Is there something going on behind the scenes that could affect the Eagles more than what we're seeing right now?
Well, you guys know I live in the Philadelphia area and do a ton of Philadelphia media, and he kind of does this every year. I mean, sometimes he does it twice a year where his frustrations, he takes it out on social media and then apologizes a few days later. He's frustrated by it. You know, there's a reason why it's hard for teams to repeat, right? You know, all the guys for the Eagles, they've all been paid, you know, they've all gotten their money. They've all won a Super Bowl now. I think the next thing is like, okay, I want to show how good I am. It's about me a little bit. And they won't say that. They'll say that it's, and A.J. Brown, did he want to contribute more to a win, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of these, you know, sub-tweets or sub-posts or whatever they call them now. That would be like as soon as I'm done and I'm done with you guys, me posting on social media, you know, don't bring me on the show if you want to talk Tigers so bad. You know what I mean? like if I had an issue with you guys, I would talk to you guys directly. I'm amazed that this is a thing that guys do. It's not how I was raised, but I don't know. I don't know if there's things behind the scenes. He apologized. Everybody's saying the right things. I guess we'll find out.
I can give you a reason to subtweet us. I'll ask you, who wins game three today, Tigers or Guardians?
Oh, man. Yesterday when I do 4 o'clock in Cleveland on Wednesdays, I would have said Guardians. Today, since I'm doing 8 o'clock in Detroit on a Thursday, let's go Tigers.
All right. Ross, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
He's Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider. Not our MLB insider, so no. Don't take that Tigers prediction for much. But you can check out the Ross Tucker podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, use the Odyssey app to listen.
Such a politician.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know The Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.